This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
What I can do, Alan, is talk about the rule of 72, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what happens, I am Joe Martech, and I am a financial advisor. This is the Team Martech Hour, and a team is missing, but we have our special guest team member, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Alan Love, is here. And those of you that have listened to this show regularly may know or may not know, we also do another show on WPSL 1590 AM. Today, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And we were talking earlier today about the rule of 72, right?
Right.
Now, those of you that have not heard this, it's a real simple thing. You divide the interest rate into 72, and the equal is what how long it takes to double your money. So let's say 6%. Six goes into 72 12 times.
Correct.
If you're getting 6% every year, that means in 12 years, you've doubled your money. So we were doing some math at 10%.
Right, which is 7.2 years.
7.2. And basically, we rounded off the two because he did it in his head real fast. And basically, starting off with $2,000 when a baby's born, when the baby turns 60, have a $500,000.
Roughly, wow. Yes.
Roughly. Now, there's no guarantees for any of that stuff, but using history, we were using the Standard & Poor's 500.
Right.
As our gauge, which is 500 of America's biggest companies. And that's an index that you technically can invest in. You can buy what they call a spider. You can buy a mutual fund. There's all kinds of different ways that it's 500 of America's companies. And there's already an index that tracks it. So the companies that copy it really don't charge much at all because it doesn't take a genius to copy. So normally it's about a quarter to a half a point a year percent that is deducted from the account to be the manager. It's like the mutual fund thing that we talked about where you got that big pie and there's 500 companies in it.
Right.
So same exact concept. In fact, that is exactly the concept. But anyway, it was just a thing because Christmas is around the corner and grandparents sometimes want to give a brand new baby a gift and the babies don't have a clue what they're getting.
Not usually, no.
No, and the mamas are going to say, okay, I want this, this, and this for the baby, bassinet, all the kinds of stuff that you give. But that technically does very little for the child in the long run, but that United, it's a unified gift to minors rule act, and money can be set aside for that child. And you need to know the child's date of birth and name and social security number, et cetera. Then it has a custodian, which is normally the parent, until that child is of legal age. And to make it more complicated, it can be set up in a trust and basically not allow the child to have it for a long, long time, if you so desire.
Well, if you want that money to compound, you set up the trust where the child doesn't get it till, say, age 60.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they can get it for education or for some other reason. It's up to you, and let your mind kind of wander what you want it to do. Because what happens, grandma and grandpa, by the time that kid hits legal age, you're probably going to be dead or close to it. But that child's got a whole life ahead of him, and it can be a magnificent gift if it's not abused.
But that's very true, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we were talking about it earlier this morning on a thing, and I thought I'd just beat it up a little bit. Anyway, you can call us here and talk today. Again, I'm Joe Martek, financial advisor. The toll-free number from anywhere is 888-221-8990. Again, it's 888. It's toll-free now. Class, you're supposed to write this number down and keep it. 888-221-8990.
Yep.
Did I do okay there?
I think you did the best you've ever done, Joe, on that number.
That was very, 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 very good. I didn't believe it for a second, but I liked it.
Well, I'm working on credibility. How much should you put into one of those funds if you have a baby and you want to have it grow?
Well, here's what, we were talking earlier today. Mm-hmm. If, say, you put $2,000 in one time, mm-hmm. grandparent, baby's born, set up that account. Now, under the rule of 72, if it earned 10% a year, this is the average of the Standard & Poor's 500 for the last 30 years or 40 years or whatever the time is, that means every 7 years it would double.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just do the math. Alan, go with me. 7 years later?
4,000.
Next seven?
8,000.
Next seven?
16.
Next seven?
32,000.
Next seven?
64,000.
Next seven?
Let's round it 125,000.
Next seven?
Quarter of a million.
Next seven?
Half million.
Okay. 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 50, less than 60 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's amazing.
It is.
The power of compounding.
Right.
So now there's no guarantee it would do that ad infinitum, but what we're saying is here's America. And mm-hmm. thank you, Lord, we're in America.
Amen.
And this is history. And you're talking 500 of America's biggest companies, the blue chips. And that, by the way, those same 500 companies are not the same all the time. Sometimes they come and go. Like Enron is a company that went bankrupt. They're out of it, that's for sure. Yeah. But the concept of 500, if one goes bad and they replace it with another company, it hardly affects the whole pie. So historically, it's done that. So all we were talking about earlier today was the ability that a grandparent might have may have to do that. And what a magnificent gift it can be. And the complication becomes when a child turns 18, they're legal. And if they're money, they might just say, well, the heck with me saving that till I'm an old guy. I'll take it now and have a party.
Right.
Well, if they set it up in a trust, guess what?
Yeah, that's what we talked about a couple of minutes ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Once it's in a trust, we have a trustee. The trustee is in charge of that money. And even when that child becomes of age, if the trustee is Uncle Fred or Aunt Helga, don't you like Aunt Helga? You ever had an Aunt Helga?
I never had an Aunt Helga, no.
Never was that fortunate.
No. I know. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, and that successor trustee can name another successor trustee ad infinitum for the benefit of that child. It's a very interesting concept, and I've seen it done. It's just not done often. But what a gift.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift. Yeah. Concept, you know, what you've done. 1-888-221-8990. So the concept of our group, for those of you that are the first-time listeners, back in '04, that's in 2004, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, got together and said, let's start doing radio shows so we have different areas of expertise and people ask questions that each one of us knows that the other does not, and we can help educate people. And we've been doing that now again since 2004. We didn't dream in a million years we'd still be doing it or how long we were going to do it. We never set out with any goal in mind. But then over a period of time, things have changed a little bit. We added Vince Rizzino, CPA, because taxes and changes in the economy became monster subjects, starting businesses, closing businesses, all kinds of things that the average person doesn't think of. Then we added Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Well, when the Great Recession hit, real estate became a monster subject. Deed backs, foreclosures, short sales. Knowing somebody that had been in real estate forever that had integrity and credibility, and I've known this girl since 1980, and for somebody that's still 30 years old, this is kind of a miracle. You notice that? You know, I got a kick out of this. I used to have a girl at work for me, and she was in her 70s, and Phyllis, you dye your hair? And she goes, no. And I said, Phyllis, you're a good Christian girl. You're not supposed to lie about your hair. And she goes, listen, that's the one thing we're allowed to lie about is our hair color. Anyway.
I'll have to check the Bible on that
one. Yeah, check the Bible on that one. There might be a special clause that's a new one. It's an addendum written by a woman.
Yeah.
Addendum. Anyway. So then the last member, the newest, which is about the same time as Victoria Lloyd came in, was Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And what a monster difference he's made in people's lives, educating people on what it takes to get a mortgage, on credit scores. In fact, you call Mike on the phone and in 15 minutes he'll tell you if and what you qualify for, and if you don't, what you need to do to clean up your act so that you can qualify for it. So we've had just many testimonials about Mike and what he's been able to do for people that, you know, because, hey, the first time especially it's difficult. And even after you bought a house two or three times, especially if you got 10 or 15 years in between each one, the rules change. So having somebody like Mike around is just magnificent. Now, Joe Martek, financial advisor, basically is real simple. My job is to help people make money and to protect their money. And it really depends on each individual person what their goals are. In fact, I had a client this morning, Alan, is kind of interesting. He had all retirement money, and he's not so young, 67. And he says, well, what if I want to speculate with some of this money? And I said, you can. It's your money. We've got it in it as secure as I can make it, earning as well as I can to protect it. But if you want to take some of it out and play with it and lose it, that's up to you. Well, yeah. And I say it that way, too, because certain investments, if somebody wants to do them, sometimes they have to sign a piece of paper that says, and I'm paraphrasing now, folks, don't take this literally, but you're dumb as a stump. I didn't talk you into it. I suggested you didn't do it. I said you'd probably lose your money because when you get into high speculation, that very often happens. You lose. But sometimes people want to do it. Different things come along, and I used this as an example when I talked about it. I don't know if this morning or not, but back when the Great Recession hit and the government was bailing out banks and bailed out the automobile companies, they did not bail out Ford Motor Company.
That's right.
Ford Motor Company stock got down to $1.80. Might have gone down to $1.18, but myself and a bunch of people bought it at $1.80. Well, it got up to almost $18. That's called a home run. Mm-hmm. No, called a grand slam.
Yeah.
When you can take $2 and turn it into 20, how many shares? That's a lot of money. And it was a gift. Now, people say, Joe, what about now? And I said, hey, look it. I'm good at losing money on speculative things. I don't like speculative things, but once in a while I play. And Alan, no different than you. Once in a while you play. And we have not been right every time.
The market creates opportunities, but I think this is a good time today to talk a little bit about the fact that you hear a lot of things on the news when the market starts to get volatile, meaning ups and downs. Right. Like today, it had a 600-point range from top to bottom. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 205 points, but our point, Joe, you and I have had probably 70 years of experience in the business between us. And the one thing that we've seen is when the market goes down, the worst thing you can do is panic.
Oh, big time. Well, let's talk about exactly what happened. Why does the market do all of these strange gyrations? Well, what happens is a company X is worth Y. So let's say that company is worth $100 and they have 100 shares of stock. That means each share is worth $1. Now, very often these companies have multi-millions of shares and their value might be in the billions, or even like Amazon or Apple up to a trillion, off the wall numbers. So it's hard to equate these numbers in our head. But what happens very simply is this. Under normal circumstances, when the economy is good and a company is making money, their value goes up. When a company is losing money, their value goes down because they're not making anything. They're not worth anything. When a company goes out of business, all their value is gone. They are now, you've lost all your money. Well, right today, anybody that knows what's going on with the economy, we have full employment. We have unemployment rate as low as it's ever been. You know, I loved driving down the street and seeing sign after sign after sign, help wanted, $16 an hour to start. I mean, it's just, there's new things out there because we have full employment. People are making decent wages. Raises are coming in. Headhunters are coming in. Companies are growing and record profits in many of these companies. Well, then how come the market is going down? Now, the $64,000 question is, how come the market is going down? Well, the easy answer right now is it's a correction. What's a correction mean? Well, the market can't always just go up. If it goes up too much, then all of a sudden this $1 share of stock is worth $20 and a company is still only worth $1, very often it has to correct and come back down to reality. So then we have another equation called the price-to-earnings ratio. Now, it's all complicated stuff, folks. But a price-to-earnings ratio of 10 is considered excellent. One of 20, 30, 40 is considered not too good. However, some of the biggest companies out there, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, they may have a P.E. ratio of 30, 40, 50, but they're growing like crazy. And people are looking forward in the future to what that company is going to be worth. So normally the value of the share of stock is not what the company is worth today. It's what they think it's going to be worth 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years down the road. And then also, what's the emotional quotient when people buy Facebook or Amazon or something, because they're excited about it because everybody talks about it and everybody uses it. So you think it's going to be special. So there's different ingredients that go into the market. But if we look basics, companies make money, their value goes up. Companies lose money, value goes down. Well, we're into a dynamic economy right now. Dynamic. It's as good as, probably as good as it's ever been, or as close to being as good as it's ever been. People are, I think most everybody that wants a job right now has a job. And the wages have gone up considerably in the last year. Again, used to be minimum wage was the way of life and a lot of entryways. Well, all of a sudden, a lot of people are paying $1 or $2 more an hour, even on entry position levels, because they can't get the people. So literally what happened, if you can't hire people, you pay more. And that's it. Back again. Now, the economy, the stock market has gone into a fit for the last, month and a half or so, right?
Right.
Basically, it's gone down roughly 10%. Which is considered the normal correction. That's the magic number, correction. Now the media doesn't help people or educate people. It just reports what's happening. And sometimes they report bad news much better than good news. And especially when the market's going crazy, they look for outside influences. Why is it doing this? Well, besides the fact that Warren Buffett, one of the smartest guys on earth, supposedly making money, is buying stock left and right in companies, and in spite of the fact companies are buying back their own stock right now because the prices are very good and they can sell it later, a lot of people are bailing out because of fear. And what you just said, Alan, a few minutes ago, Warren Buffett, one of his things is, when everybody's fearful, it's time to buy.
That's true. But, you know, another thing that has changed is many, many years ago, if you got on the air, you couldn't talk about individual stocks. You couldn't talk about where the market is going. Now we've got three major financial cable channels that do that all the time.
All day long.
These pundits.
Yeah.
And really, the rule on pundits is very simple in my mind. Let's just say that on June 30th of 2019, it was your opinion that the Dow Jones Industrial Average would close at 30,000, and it's my opinion that it would close at 20,000. Then the next question is, how do we know? We have no idea how we know. You cannot predict what's going to happen.
Even though people do.
People do. And what happens is if a pundit is right, the media makes a big deal. Like, you know, there was, if you remember Joe Granville, that name.
Oh, big time, yeah.
For years, he was right a lot of times calling the downs.
Yeah.
But when he was wrong big time.
Well, and most of these people don't talk about when they're wrong. Can you ever notice that?
Yes.
And it's just that it's what happens is this. When I look at most people, and Alan and I talk about this off the radio, and Pastor Dave here sometimes he doesn't fall asleep and he pays attention to what we're saying, that the average person doesn't even want to understand because it gets a bit complicated. The key thing that they're looking for is, how can I get a decent return, better than 0.5% or 1% or 2% in the bank, and have long-term growth without taking undue risk. Undue risk. Then guys like me are supposed to say, what's your risk tolerance? And we talk about it for a while to find out how much risk are you willing to take and how can you protect your money? You know, so there's different strategies that come in, and the bottom line is the goal is whatever your goal is and how can we achieve that goal. So then we kind of say, okay, here's my goal. I want to end up here in X amount of time. How am I going to get from where I'm at today to where I want to go? What am I going to need to accomplish? Then when you find out what you need to accomplish, that it might be high risk, you say all of a sudden, well, I guess I don't want it that bad. Very often, young people in their 20s and 30s are willing to take high risk because they got a long time to go. But when you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, all of a sudden, your risk tolerance normally goes down. You need to protect what you've got because you're not going to be working and competing with those 30-year-old kids anymore. So you don't want to be working, unless you're a pastor, of course, then you always have to work. You have no choice, right?
None whatsoever.
That's what I figured. You know. But the rest of us, we don't like that.
I can dig it.
So the concept is, look and see what your goal is. How can we achieve that goal? And what's it going to take to do it? And what can we do to protect it? Now, protection is a magnificent, magnificent word. And there are things out there that protect people's money that are just magnificent, that I just revel in, because I can sleep at night and not have to worry when I know I've got a company sitting back over there willing to protect the money no matter what. Anyway, questions, 888-221-8990. That's toll-free, 888-221-8990. There are different things you can talk about. Like, let's talk about an IRA, individual retirement account. If you're under age 50, you're allowed to put $5,500 a year into that retirement account. If you're over that, you can put up to $6,500 a year into that retirement account. However, if you have a 401k at work, you may not be able to put into a separate retirement account depending on how much you put into the 401k. If you have a 401k and let's say you make $50,000 a year and your company matches 3%, that means you can take $1,500 and out of your paychecks in the course of a year and they'll add $1,500 to it. Well, I 1,004,000,000% say do that no matter what, because that's 100% return right away. Very often companies say, well, we're not going to vest our contribution for a period of 5 years, and that's okay. Vest means that if you decide to leave the company in a year or two, you may not get all of what they put in, but you get in what you put in. So, and then inside of the 401ks are different investment options again. Some are very conservative, some are not so conservative, some are complicated. most of the times when I see somebody, some of the funds that these things are in are not self-explanatory, that you can't tell exactly what that fund is. Now, Alan and I know right now, if it says blue chip, growth fund, large cap, we know it's all equities, it's stock, and it's some of the big companies. If it says mid-cap, it's medium-sized company. It says small cap, it's small company. Well, those are easy. But there are certain names out there that you don't know unless you know what company it is and what the name is, and there are thousands and thousands of these different companies. So it's very difficult to know all of them. There are also some 401ks, and Alan, you've seen these, where they have a risk tolerance, whether you like it or not, based on your age. And now, there used to be an old rule that the older you get, the more of your money should go into bonds. Mm-hmm. Now, bonds are not savings bonds you buy at the bank. They're corporate bonds. Companies basically raise money and they pay an interest rate. And some of these bonds are good for 10, 20, 30 years, but they pay an interest rate. And people say, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yes, it is. But if you ever want to sell that bond during the course of this 10, 20, or 30 years, you could take a loss or you could have a gain depending on what the then current interest rates are. So bonds can be a bad decision at any time when interest rates are going up, because your bond doesn't go up, it stays where you're at. If other people can get one that pays better than yours, nobody wants yours. So you've got to be a bit careful, no matter how old you are, in an increasing interest rate environment. That's what we're in now. Interest rates now for the last 2 years have gone from nothing to around 2%, and they're expected to keep going up, quarter point increments, every 3 to 6 months. And I don't think there's a person alive that doesn't believe that it's going to happen. What's the odds for the December one? It's pretty much like 70%, isn't it?
I think it's about 85 now.
Yeah, for there to be another quarter point. Because what the Fed does, the Federal Reserve, they control interest rates, that money goes flowing back and forth between banks. And the concept that they have is to try to keep the economy from getting too hot, where inflation comes over. Then all of a sudden, they keep raising interest rates till they shut the economy down. And that was back under Jimmy Carter, who got a whole ration of not good news, thinking it was his fault, and it wasn't. But the bottom line was, it really stopped the economy. People had money in banks and CDs were happy as a clam because they were getting 10 and 12%. But people trying to buy a house were paying 16, 17% interest. One, a lot of them couldn't qualify. Two, they couldn't afford it even if they did qualify.
Yeah.
Then foreclosures came in, all kinds of stuff. The economy collapsed again, another recession. So what the Fed is trying to do now is not have that happen again. And so far, so good. I mean, it's been moving along at very, very, very nice pace. So that's why I said I fully expect that if things will continue at least through 2019, based on where things are going today. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hey, come on. Now, we need some callers in here, you know? I got David falling asleep. I got Alan falling asleep.
I'm not falling asleep, Doug.
I was just contemplating all this stuff you've been sharing. It boggles my mind.
Contem what now?
Well, sorry, that's four syllables.
You know, one of the things let's go back a little bit into history. Talk about Bernie Madoff.
I remember him.
Bernie Madoff had the trust of many, many people, and yet he was a criminal. Let's face it.
Flat fact. Yeah.
Spending years in jail now for what he did.
And he'll be there forever.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about your money. It is your money. It is your responsibility to watch what is happening with your money. And if you entrust your money to a 401k, a brokerage firm, broker.
Hold still now. Here's what Madoff did now. If your money is in a 401k that is now managed by a third-party money manager, not by the company that you're working for, there's an outside government-approved money manager. Okay. Now let's go now to Bernie Madoff.
What I'm driving at is people weren't even looking at their monthly statements, and their monthly statements were showing just almost continuous rises. Even if the market had a correction, they were still making money. That is what I'm talking about. You have to be diligent with your own money.
Stay still one more time.
Okay.
Bernie Madoff had his own statements.
True.
Point I'm trying to say. Like, here's number one and two and three rules. People come to me, and this has happened regularly, say, Joe, I got the check made out to you. I can't take it. It's against the law. If I take a check made out to me, even send it into the company, I can lose my licenses. I'm out of the business. Pay them just like that. Mm. It's against the law. One, you only make a check out. Let's say you're getting an annuity contract with an insurance company. You only make the check to an insurance company. Let's say you open a brokerage account. You only make the check to the brokerage account or the clearinghouse. You do not ever make it out to an individual. Never. Then it's very easy to go online and check out any brokerage house. You know, most people, there's probably 600 brokerage houses in America. Mine happens to be Centaurus Financial. They're based in California. They got reps in almost every state, far as I know. There's 600 or 700 of us roaming around. I'm what's called an independent rep. What's the difference between me and the rep that's not independent? Well, the one that's not independent may sit in a bank in an office over there, and he's got to wear the suit and a tie and can't have beard on his face. And remember back in the days where we had three-piece suits and wingtip shoes and the costume of business? I don't do that anymore, you know, because I'm an old guy and I don't care anymore to do that. But I'm also independent where I don't have to. But if I had to go to work for, quote, one of the big brokerage houses, I'd have to wear the costume of business and show up in the office and be there, but I don't do that. Are the rules any different for you? No. The rules are the same. You don't make a checkout ever to an individual, only to a company, only to the brokerage clearinghouse, and then you now will have that money invested in something, in something. You then can either go online and or get paper statements or both. And you will get them monthly or quarterly depending on what kind of investment you have. And whether it's liquid, meaning you can cash it in at any time, sell it. If it's a stock or a mutual fund or an ETF, exchange-traded fund, they're traded on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, and they're liquid, meaning I can buy it this morning and sell it this afternoon. Not that you normally would, but you can. The key thing that happened with Bernie Madoff, and what a perfect name. He made off with everybody's money. Yeah. He couldn't have had a better name. That people trusted him and just gave him the money.
Right.
And, you know, in my stomach and in my heart, I think he probably started off as a very legitimate guy and invested and did everything he was supposed to. But once he slipped one time, and then thought he could make it up. Then it's a bad analogy, but it's like murder. Once I kill somebody, I'm a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
If I kill two people, I'm still a murderer. Three, I'm still a murderer. I mean, it's the same sentencing all the way through. So I kind of believe he got carried away with his own intelligence, which he found out was not that good. And then all of a sudden, his house of cards caught up with him. The articles that I've read is that he's happier now than he's been in years because he has no pressure. He's in jail. He just has no pressure from living with himself being any day I'm going to get caught. And, when it happened. Now, I have seen what I call very highly credentialed people, and so have you, Alan, steal. Yeah. And, I mean, there's no other way to phrase it. They steal because they don't advise their clients properly that you should never, ever, ever give money to an individual. It should only go to a company or a clearinghouse, a brokerage firm. You never give a check or cash or anything to an individual. Mm-hmm. It has to be made out different. And again, it's against the rules, number one. Every one of these guys that goes to jail, they obviously broke the rule. Now, even if they did legitimate investments, but if they broke the rule, this is a big-time problem. Big time. You know, whether you steal it or not, you're not allowed to do that. So the key thing when I look at people with a 401k, I'm not even remotely concerned about dishonesty with company 401ks. What you as a client with your money being saved for retirement, you should educate yourself a bit on what are my options available from an investment standpoint, right?
Right. A broker friend of mine who was in the business and is now with the Lord many years ago had a great analogy. He would tell his clients that your monthly statements that you get were your check engine light, like in your car, that if you look at your statement, it looks fine, great. If something doesn't look fine, like the check engine light goes on, and you don't do anything about it, it's your fault.
Yep. Could be a problem.
Yeah.
But there's a phone call. You know, and I've told every client of mine, everyone, I give them two phone numbers, my office and my cell phone. And I said, if you want to talk to me, don't call the office, because I don't like being in an office. I like to roam around. It's like I today with two radio shows, and I met two clients, actually three, one in the office today, and two I went to their houses. Because one's in Fort Pierce and another one's on the way from Fort Pierce to here. So, and I love doing that rather than sitting in an office. It's just Joe Martek. It's not other people. Other people, they'd love sitting in the office, and that's just the way it is. But the concept is people have my cell phone. They can call me anytime. Now, if you call me at 3 in the morning, I may not remember it. when you're on the phone with me, tell when you hang up to save that and then to check your message the next day, because I might be sound asleep when I'm talking to you. But literally, it makes no difference. I don't want people ever to fester, like on a Thursday or a Friday, and then they're worried, and then they don't get a hold of somebody till Monday, and it might ruin their whole weekend festering. Call me.
You know, it's not really funny, Joe, because I think in a few years we're going to have 24-hour trading worldwide.
Well, they have it technically now, not necessarily 24-hour, but you trade through different stock exchanges in Europe rather than American stock exchanges, and they allow some trading out of American stocks. I mean, I don't understand how exactly the system works. My broker-dealer doesn't do that, but certain ones do. Yeah. Now, this is for the more sophisticated investor that's a trader. Right. That literally, like the commercial on TV, she's having dinner with this guy, and she goes, oh, excuse me, I need to make a trade. And she calls England or whoever it is and makes a trade.
Yeah.
And he's pretty impressed. Well, I would be too if she was buying dinner, you know, but you never know. 1-888-221-8990. Now, if by chance you don't want to talk on the radio, which I don't understand that, but if you don't want to, you don't have to, you can call the radio station, leave your name and number with Pastor Jonathan or Tom or Dave, and they'll take your name and number and give it to me, and I'll make sure whoever you need to talk to gets it back. Now, remember, in our group, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent's a big word now. That means he doesn't work for one insurance company. He's got roughly 100 companies under his umbrella, all different types of insurance. But he works for you, and if one company falls out of favor, he can find another one that'll take you. And that's a big thing, because Florida's had some major upheavals because of hurricanes. 1992, Andrew hit, and boy, that was a monster debacle with the insurance industry. Big deal, independent insurance agent. Greg Fasula, attorney. I got to tell you, anybody that's ever met Greg likes him, period. Which, it doesn't kind of rhyme, an attorney that's a nice guy. You know, it just, most of us kind of think the group as a group is a bit arrogant, pretentious. They wear that education sometimes real hard on their shoulder that they're above the rest of us. That's not Greg. Greg's just a down-to-earth good man, and he's gone out of his way to help people. Out of his way. Just a big thing. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I got to tell you, the hardest working person, and I don't mean just realtor, and from an integrity standpoint, when that girl says she's going to call you back at 3 in the morning, well, don't go to sleep, because she'll call you at 3 in. Whatever she says she's going to do, she does. I mean, she's high big time. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, back again. What Mike has done to educate people and help people is staggering. Vince Rosino, CPA. I can't toot his horn too hard. Vince is not only a CPA, he's a forensic CPA, an ex-college professor, just a phenomenal person. caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, it's Al Wittenberg.
Hey, how we doing, my man?
Okay. I was calling in about the REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust.
Absolutely.
Maybe you could explain a little about that and why they're getting such high dividends.
Well, let's talk. That's good. That's a really good subject, one of my favorite ones. First, there's two different types of REITs. One is called non-traded. Now, non-traded means just what it says. They're not traded on a stock market. They're closed. They have restrictions, and I don't normally do those unless you push me into it because you know what you're doing and that's what you want. Traded REITs are traded on a stock exchange, which means they're 100% liquid, which means I can buy it today and sell it today, and they trade just like a share of stock. Okay? Now, REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust, REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, normally have two different types of avenues. One is bricks and mortar real estate. That can be shopping centers, apartment buildings, restaurants, hospitals, I don't care, whatever it is, real estate. Or there's mortgage REITs. So mortgage REITs do the same basic thing, only they provide mortgages for oftentimes commercial real estate or residential real estate. And the side of the coin that happens with a traded real REIT, under normal circumstances, the rules are pretty simple. If it is this vehicle called a REIT, they have to, by statute, pay out 90% of their profits on a quarterly basis, every 3 months. So, like right today, most of the mortgage REITs that I like and that I follow on a daily basis are paying around 10 to 12% dividend. So, that means every 3 months, it'd be around 2.5% or 3% would be your check. Now, that's the good news, right? What's the bad news? Well, if the real estate economy is strong, guess what? Normally, this is a pretty good thing. If the economy is getting better and running along pretty good, real estate investment trust, I love them to no end. And I love the mortgage REITs. All of these things are good. Most of the mortgage REITs that I know of, not all of them, but most of them are in adjustable rate mortgages. So when interest rates go up, they go up. They keep paying the dividend. Hallelujah. Everything is looking good. Very often, people that are needing income like to have a portion of their money in these REITs. And the most important part to me is liquidity, meaning I can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. Why would I need to sell it? Yeah, because I might need the money. Two, I might think the economy is going to turn. Three, I'm in a mood to buy a new car. Who cares? It's your money. So liquidity on traded REITs is where I have most of my expertise. Am I answering most of that question for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a REIT, and when I came to do my taxes, it seemed a little different than the other stocks that I had.
Yeah, they are. If there's a thing called a K-1, which is not like a 1099, even though there's some similarities. The way the tax consequences work, I've never seen anybody try to figure out and do their own taxes with these things. They need to go to a CPA or somebody that is somewhat sophisticated that understands them, because when you get the tax document, it's not like a one-page simple 1099 or W-2 or 4. Usually they're 7 or 8 pages long. So it's a bit more complicated.
Yeah. All righty. That's great.
I hope that answered. Does that answer most of it for you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Any way I can help you with any of that stuff ever, you let me know, and I'd be glad to. You know that.
Will do.
Thank you, sir, for the call.
Thanks.
Bye. Joe.
Yes.
As interest rates go down,
right,
bonds are a good investment for people that don't want to be in the stock market.
As interest rates go down, correct.
Right. Bonds are a good investment. When they start going up like they are now, is REITs a possible substitute for bonds?
Well, see, the word substitute is not necessarily a good word.
Okay.
Let's just say right now, when somebody says they have bonds, I normally say, why? They'll say, well, because I have them, and that's all there is to it. And I said, well, are you following and looking the value of your account? Is it staying the same, going down? With these bonds. sometimes people don't look at it. I said, because what you were just leading into, and here's my example. You and I buy a $1,000 bond. One bond that's $1,000 that pays 5%. Now, that's nobody's doing that today, but let's just say that's an example. And we're collecting our 5%, and let's say it's for good for 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, we're going to get our $1,000 back, right? Now, there's 10 years, 20 year, there's all kinds of different lengths of time, but let's just use 10 years as an example. Now, we're collecting 5%, but next year we want to sell that bond because we paid $1,000 for it and we're collecting our 5%, so we find somebody else that might want to buy it, and that somebody else says, well, what are new bonds paying? Well, interest rates went up during that 12-month time to 6%, so that new buyer looks at us and says, I don't want your 5% one because I can go out and get a brand new one for 6. Why would I get your 5 if I can get 6? And I've got to have 9 more years of 5 when I can get 10 years at 6. So what happens is very often if we still want to sell it, we have to discount it 1% a year for the next 9 years, take that off of that. So we're going to take off $990 off of the price, and we don't get our money back. But that's just one of the rules. So literally today, interest rates are going up, have gone up, and are expected to keep going up. So when I look at people and say, why do you have bonds? Now, if, let's just take the second scenario. If I've got this bond paying 3%, 4%, pick a number, and it's good for the next 10 years, and I'm happy with the 3 or 4, and I'm not going to sell it, depending on market conditions, I go all the way to the end of that bond, 9 or 7 or 10 or 15 years out, and I'll get my money back. Now, if you're 80, that could be a bit of a problem because you got to live long enough. On the other hand, you can let these kids inherit it, and they can wait it out and collect the money when that bond comes full circle. But normally, the average person doesn't expect, especially when they're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, to still be here 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And they also get a little bit upset if they have a 3% instrument and new instruments are paying 6. They'd rather have the 6. But if you had to sell your one paying 3, you just gave away all the potential profit that you would have had. Anyway, I guess where I'm going is right now, whenever I see a person that has bonds in their portfolio today, my question is why? If they understand what I'm just talking about, then we're fine. If they don't understand that, we talk about it a little bit more, sometimes charts and arrows and graphs to try to show them exactly why they're doing this, and is it in your best interest? Is this accomplishing your goal? Now, that in itself, is this accomplishing your goal, is critical to my business. Critical to what a good securities rep does, because we're supposed to know our client and know what our client's objectives are, goals are, and what their risk tolerance is. So all of those things come into the hat, and then we're going to sit and say, okay, we both agree this might be the thing you want to do, but you have to know your upside and your downside. Make an intelligent decision. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. You understand any of that, Dave?
strangely enough,
but
I do.
Then how do the REITs might fit into the picture? Because you really don't want to own bonds as interest rates are going up.
Right.
But a 10% dividend sounds attractive.
Well, it is attractive. And I love the whole concept. But again, remember this. REITs, real estate investment trusts, are hooked up to the real estate market, either in mortgages or in physical real estate. Like if somebody said today, Joe, I've got this great REIT with shopping centers, regional shopping centers, malls. What do you think? I'd say, I don't like it. Malls all over the country seem to be having a problem because of people like Amazon and Walmart. So you'll go into any mall and there's lots of empty space. So they're going to get more into restaurants and doing different things inside the mall, and that might work over a period of time. But right now, I'm not too excited about it. Then they come up and say, well, what about hospital REITs? Well, I kind of like that. Where are the hospitals? One's in Fargo, North Dakota, and one's in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay, one out of two I like so far. Just keep going. I want to see a growth market where people are moving into, where obviously, the more people that move into a market, the better that hospital is going to physically do, because it has to have patients. If everybody's moved out of there, that could be a nice big empty building, which can be a problem. So the whole concept is understanding, me one understanding what they are, you, me educating you to make sure you understand what you're doing. There are many, many different types. Some just do strip centers. Can that be good? Well, worries me. If you have an anchor tenant like a Publix grocery store with a long, long, long-term lease, I feel pretty good, because anchor tenants drag in all kinds of traffic, which other stores in that thing normally do pretty good. So when you go into a shopping center, it's pretty easy. You can see empty stores. Well, you sure don't want to invest in that place. You want one that's got a waiting line of people wanting to rent that place. There's some easy logic there. Hmm? Let me take this call, and then we'll talk about that some more. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. It's Michelle. So nice to hear you guys on Wednesdays. I love the show.
Thank you, Michelle. I love you, too, for telling me that. Where do I
sit? You guys are a blessing.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. How can I
have a question.
Go ahead.
It's regarding a will.
Okay.
I know you guys are talking about investments, but I have a question about a will.
That's okay.
For example, if you really don't have assets like a home or anything like that, but you have your life insurance, your 401k, and you have all your beneficiaries assigned as well as your contingents, is a will necessary outside of just putting your wishes that, you know, where you want to be buried or how you want your service to go? Is all that necessary if the person that's going to do it is a family member and already knows your wishes?
See, you know, it's an interesting thing. You and I are on the same page. If you have a bank account, on the bank account you have normally a transfer on death agreement, which says, okay, I'm dead, show up a death certificate, whoever's written down on transfer on death gets the money. If I've got a life insurance contract, it's got beneficiaries, show up a death certificate, get the money. You got a brokerage account, transfer on death or beneficiary, same thing. So far, we don't need a will. I had two clients retired, living in an assisted living, that had trusts, and that we had lots of assets, but all of it's gone. There is nothing left except personal stuff, and everything else has named beneficiaries or transfer on death. They don't need anything. I mean, I'm looking at the same thing. Now, okay. I don't know that a will with your wishes to how you're going to get fried or buried, you know, once you're dead, I might say, okay, fine, I'll fry you and bury you, and I might forget you. Because there's nobody that's going to come and chase me down. In fact, I just took two sets of ashes out on my boat last Friday for somebody that's been dead for 10 years, because the relative finally got around to it and found somebody would take them out on the boat for free.
Well, as far as being buried and your personal effects, wouldn't the power of attorney do that?
Well, your personal effects have nothing to do with anything. Let's say I've got a picture hanging in the house, or I've got some jewelry or whatever. Hey, let me tell you, when I'm dead, whatever relative comes and snatches that stuff first has got it. You know, I mean, I'm not overly concerned. So a power of attorney, what that does, and what Alan is saying, I would rather see a person have a power of attorney first, because let's say you get into a car wreck and you're in a coma. Somebody's got to pay the electric bill, and somebody's got to pay the phone bill, and your mortgage payment. And if they have a power of attorney, they can go to the bank and they can use your money to pay your bills. So the will is not as critical to me as power of attorney. And then also, if you're a single person, a health care surrogate, meaning who can make decisions to keep you alive, operate on you, that kind of stuff. Those are more important documents. This is Joe Martek talking than a will. Now, you got stuff, meaning investment properties, the set, forget all that. Now the will or a trust becomes important.
Okay.
But using your example, Yes, I don't see much of a need for a will. But remember the power of attorney and the health care surrogate. Those are important documents.
Right. Well, you just brought up something important that I didn't even think about.
Yep.
Because my sister would be the one to handle all my affairs and my debt if I passed. But
what if you don't? What if you don't die?
About a will. Right. But yep. That's why I was wondering about a will. Because that way at least she's appointed to take care of everything.
Well, the point is now you have an executor on your estate, but if your estate has transfers on death beneficiaries, all of that supersedes a will. Will can say whatever it wants, but if those documents are already in place, those take precedence. In other words, if you have a life insurance contract and you name me as a beneficiary, but you want the money to go to Alan, tough. Alan doesn't get it. I get it because I'm the named beneficiary, no matter what other documents you've done. That's in that contract.
Okay, that makes sense. So the most important thing really is the power of attorney.
Alan brought it up. I think, if you've got a spouse, well, let's assume both of you don't get run over on the same day, but still,
right.
Power of attorney, I'm a big believer in a power of attorney and a healthcare surrogate.
Okay.
All
perfect.
Right.
Thank you so much for the information. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you, Michelle. Where do I send the check for this solicited call? Michelle, thank you so much.
You guys, no problem. You guys have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too, my dear. Bye. Yeah, that's a it's a subject that doesn't come up very often, but it needs to come up more often.
Well, you know, the will should be the last thing,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. But again, if you have lots of stuff,
yeah,
the will starts to make sense. But you know, I got my two clients right now. She's got jewelry and stuff, and the granddaughter's going to get it, and the granddaughter's taking care of her. Well, guess what happens when they die? Who's the one there? Well, you just put the stuff and you put it in your car and you're gone. You know, I mean, big deal. If you start listing everything and have it lined up with somebody on the outside who gets a fee to administer all this stuff, I have never figured that out as a smart thing to do. 1-888-221-8990. We're out of time for the day. Thank you, Michelle, for the call. And the fella on the read, I didn't get your name. Anyway, until next week, we will be not here. Thank you so much for your calls, and thank you for listening.
Never been a sinner, I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up with the Spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.